You like the Star Wars? Well, you've come to the right place. Yet again, we are here at the Rancor Pit, down deep inside the Rancor Pit. And lo and behold, who else is here but our very own...
Eddie Medina, otherwise known as the Zuckus to Cole's Forlom, I suppose.
if you're kicking it like, I don't know, I think I would be Forlom and you'd be Zuckus. I guess it depends on which packaging.
Exactly, I was going to go
you're
there.
You're looking very good, yeah, I like that.
Are we going vintage?
Yeah, I think vintage would work in this case. I'd be happy to be 4LOM, as they called him on the commercial. Get your free 4LOM action figure.
Yeah, because nothing's more appealing to a kid than a character called 4LOM.
Yeah, I know. Wow. But he had a cool jacket, so you had it. So, and also, you know, speaking of Star Wars toys, before we launch into the meat and potatoes of tonight's show, this will be kind of like an appetizer. Yes, our appetizer this evening is Star Wars toys.
I was going to say the little prop that Jabba likes to munch on. Or
well, those are good too, but we ran out. I'm sorry, we're completely out of that, so we're going to be serving Star Wars toys. It's fairly well known that I have this crushing hammerhead obsession. as I think I said on one of the shows, I'm a hammerhead head.
Mm-hmm.
And I discovered recently, and it arrived just today, there is... I knew I was missing one of the collectible miniature games, Ithorians, from one of the later series. They had done one in like, the first series of the game.
Yeah.
And then I knew there was one in a later series. And so I decided to try to track one down. I figured, you know, eBay's going to be the easiest thing. I can probably get one for about $3 or $4.
Yeah.
So I type in Ithorian, and lo and behold, what is all over the place, but apparently one of the figurines that comes with a Lego Jedi Starfighter thing of some kind, a Lego Ithorian Jedi.
Ah.
And let me tell you, Legos ain't cheap.
No, they're not. That's why I don't own any of the Indiana Jones Legos yet, because they're too dang expensive to get hold of.
Yes, they are what we call not cheap. And it cost me dear to get an Ithorian Jedi in the collection.
Wow.
And this isn't the first time I've had to really, you know, pony up to get, like, the Micro Machines Hammerhead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
From the rare Cantina set.
Uh-huh.
Because it's even more rare you find somebody piecing those out. And then they asked the sky for them, but I finally found one at a price I was willing to pay. Or the extremely rare Mighty Bean.
Oh, gosh.
There was actually an Ithorian Mighty Beans that was only released in Australia.
Oh, yeah?
God bless them for at least, you know, getting that out. So I actually I am darn close. I am, I think, 3 pieces away from having every conceivable Ithorian thing.
Wow.
I'm going after the old Grenadier miniatures. One of their Cantina encounter sets has an Ithorian.
Pretty soon you're going to be going after the person who played Hammerhead.
I will actually...
Like the collector in Guardians
of the
Galaxy.
Yes, exactly. I just want to buy his husk after he... I just did that little hand thing. Well, imagine. That was actually stolen from me. I do that all the time.
Oh, really?
When I find something in the store and penny shy it away.
What people don't know is Cole will be appearing at Wizard World Austin.
Oh,
is Austin this weekend?
Yes, this weekend at Wizard World Austin Comic Con.
What people don't know is that he's going to be cosplaying as the collector.
That's so true. Or at least acting as the collector as I wander the show floor.
It's more disturbing.
Yes, looking for more things for my collection.
Lock up your Howard the Ducks, people.
That's right. You never know what I'll be after next.
Oh, wow.
I really actually need to get my wish list put together. But, yes, indeed, that's another good point, and we'll get on to the appetizer. This will be like a little aperitif here. Is the Wizard World Austin Comic Con, October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's even some stuff on the 1st. No.
No, you're
2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
3rd, 4th, and 5th, I think, if it's October.
Yeah, oddly enough, I just spotted something on that. It looks like 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. That's an odd. I guess they didn't want to. They wanted to pull a Chick-fil-A or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's running Thursday through Saturday?
Apparently so. That's weird. We will double-check on that. But on Saturday, I can confirm that on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 11:45 a.m., I will be one of the members of a panel on podcasting and blogging at Wizard World, which I was very honored to be asked to join that panel, and even more honored to be able to go to Wizard World Austin for free as a result. But, yeah, do look for us. I believe it is room D, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure it'll be on the schedule. It is podcasting and blogging, and I will be there live and in person. So if you are there, please stop by and say hi, and hopefully I'll have the new Deep Ellum On Air trading cards arriving to me in the nick o' time.
So the name of it is Podcasting and Blogging?
Podcasting and Blogging.
That's odd, because this coming weekend I'll be at the G.I. Joe convention in Grapevine, Texas, and I'm going to be doing a panel, but it's going to be called cock blogging.
Cock blogging. Wow. I really am glad I'll be out of town. I'm suddenly even more honored.
That's absolutely not true, other than I'll be at the G.I. Joe convention.
I thought they were going to do like a panel on blogging and podcasting. So to be like, wow, it's like the Mirror Universe version thereof to jump genres there.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm stalling for time. 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Yes, go figure. It is a Thursday, Friday. No, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's right. 2nd through the 4th.
Okay. I'm thoroughly confused.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my head around that myself. Today's the 30th, that would make Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday show. That is that explains why a lot of people were kind of complaining about it being on Thursday. I didn't realize it wasn't on Sunday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I better get down to Austin earlier than I thought. I thought, well, I could go and just like hang out all day Sunday. No, you can't. So there you have it, folks. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for reasons.
You can hang out on Sunday. There just won't be much to see at that point.
I guess I'll be going shopping Goodwills on Sunday then. So that explains that. So yeah, do, if you get a chance, look for me there. Real quick on the toy front, beyond the Lego expensive Ithorian, to buy that piecemeal. I actually bought a set of all four of the figurines that came with that set.
Yeah.
For probably slightly less than you pay for the whole set.
Mm.
But I'll be selling off the unwanted ones on eBay soon. But also, the Jack Specific. I have to just give a shout out to a company that never produced anything I would ever think I wanted. And are now coming out with these 18-inch and 32-inch scale Star Wars figures with incredibly limited articulation. But
well, that's a cake. The sculpts are nice.
Yeah, but the sculpts, the paint jobs are amazing. The Chewbacca, I kept seeing it places, and finally just had to buy one. I bought the Biker Scout. I'm thinking about getting the TIE Fighter pilot, the name of which I could not remember a couple of times earlier this evening.
I love the Biker Scout, man. I'm so nuts over any kind of troopers.
Yes.
But especially the original Stormtrooper and the Biker Scouts.
And apparently there's a 32-inch Stormtrooper coming out, or is out now.
Uh-huh.
Which is the same size as that big-ass Darth Vader you can get.
Yeah.
So, if you're looking for something that just really is a really sharp display piece, these are real nice. The 18-inch ones run about $20. So, anywhere between $20 and $23, depending on where you find them.
Yeah.
Toys R Us is a little more expensive. Oddly enough, Target is on point. They're $20, same as Walmart's.
Uh-huh.
Or same as in town, as we say.
Yeah, and I have the big Vader, the 31, 32-inch Vader. So
yeah, those run about
nice
$35,
piece.
So like at about a dollar an inch.
Yeah.
That's
so, I plan on getting the Stormtrooper, but I have to figure out, I'll probably put them on opposite corners of the room because, oddly enough, they're going to be the same size.
Well,
and I thought
you don't want a situation where it's, aren't you a little tall for a Stormtrooper?
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was kind of odd that the Stormtrooper is exactly the same height as Vader, so I thought, well, you know, if I put him in opposite corners, it won't be as noticeable.
And I think what Eddie and I need to do is buy some of these and then, you know, pop the helmets off.
Uh-huh. Oh!
And then go to one of those places, you know, where they'll scan and make a little figure of you and see if they can make a scale head for about the same money.
There you go.
And then we'd have our own... our own us in Stormtrooper disguise.
There you go. I like that. I like that. I like that. We need to look into that.
Yes, absolutely. That stuff's getting more and more affordable as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And by affordable, I mean it's less than $1,000.
Exactly.
Where, you know, in the past it was unreachable. It was this, one of those things you'd find in those catalogs for rich people with, like, you know, his and hers gold-plated jet skis and things like that.
And Hunt a Human.
Yeah, Hunt a Human. That was one of the most popular that year, actually.
Yeah, it was the rich person's version of Whack-A-Mole, but it was Hunt a Human.
Yeah, it was actually what the movie Turkey Shoot was based on. That's for Stu. He actually got me a copy of Turkey Shoot.
Oh, Stu. Oh, but he could hook you up with the Australian Ithorian.
Apparently not. Yeah, we missed the boat there. I didn't find out about that in time. They weren't showing up in the Australian Walmarts anymore.
Okay.
And moving forward...
I guess we do have a topic, yeah.
Yeah, we actually do have a topic. Tonight's episode is Obi-Wan was a damn liar.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And yes, he was.
Yes, he was. And in the past, you know, I actually wrote a Jedi Justifications called A Certain Point of View on A Certain Point of View. Where I went out on a limb and defended Obi-Wan's certain point of view.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, in the context of that article, this really isn't meant to try to undermine my own work, because that's really a terrible thing to do for a writer, is to undermine your own work. It's kind of like Bill Cosby going out and telling people not to go see Leonard Part 6, and quite rightly so.
Did he do that, really?
He actually did that.
Oh, good for him.
Don't waste your money. But, you know, in the context of what I was justifying, what I was defending, what I say, I would say still stands. What was put forth there still stands. However... the big however is, the more I thought about that, and this is probably what, you know, put this in my head, the more I thought about his pronouncements, the more I realized that Obi-Wan does come across as a damn liar.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I do justify that, okay, yeah, he kind of lied, bent the truth, pretty much, you know, we're going to call him down on it. But I did give a compelling reason why to lie. And, of course, you know, the most compelling is you don't want to just foist on this orphan kid who's always wondered who his real dad was and who spent most of his life telling Owen, "You're not my real daddy!" And Owen was actually, I think, by A New Hope, was 27.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they'd raised Luke.
Yeah.
So, you know, he looked like he was 65. Because, I mean, look at what they had to go through. You get a taste of it.
Yeah.
In Star Wars. But, you know, you don't want to just, like, throw out in front, "Oh, guess what? I know who your dad... you knew my father?" You know, he actually did know his father. And, you know, to tell him, "Oh, by the way, you know that guy that everyone in the entire galaxy hates?"
Yeah. Guess what?
Yeah. Guess who your dad is? I mean, he would go throw himself, well, he couldn't, like, throw himself in the river because they didn't have any, but...
You know, it's bad enough you're that kid who has to get dropped off at school when your dad is driving, like, you know, like a gremlin. Even worse,
yes,
for Luke to find out that his dad is like the most reviled person in the cosmos.
Plus, also the Darth Vader's TIE fighter was the equivalent of a gremlin.
Yeah.
It was really embarrassing for the Emperor that he drove that around.
With apologies to our listeners who still drive gremlins.
Yes, indeed. And also apologies to those born after 1975 who don't know what a gremlin is.
Yeah, we're not talking about the little furry ones.
Yeah, we're not talking about those bankers from Harry Potter or anything.
Wow.
Were they gremlins? Or I don't know.
I have yet to see Harry Potter, so I'm kind of picturing what you're talking about.
Yeah, they were, I think, oddly enough, we have a Star Wars connection, though. Warwick Davis played one of them.
Oh, did he?
Regardless of what they were, goblins or gremlins or boglins or...
What hasn't Warwick Davis played? Well, with the exception of Lurch, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think we'll give him a pass on Lurch.
But with apologies to Warwick Davis.
Yes, and to Lurches everywhere.
We're doing a lot of apologizing
to Carol Struck and to Charles Adams, to Ted Cassidy.
Ted Cassidy.
So, moving forward, you know, obviously there's a good reason to kind of downplay the reality.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem really, the reason that Obi-Wan comes across like a jerk, you can't really blame Obi-Wan. It's a matter of, apparently, when George Lucas locked himself in his writing room at the Skywalker Ranch to begin work on the long-awaited prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
One of the things he didn't do during the course of the writing was perhaps, I don't know, put in a VHS or a DVD of Star Wars and watch where you're headed.
Yeah. At least get the Marvel Comics adaptation out and flip through it or something.
Especially so you could see that one of my favorite scenes in there is the whole thing, you know, still, you think a princess and a guy like me, and Luke's like, no! He's like, oh, he's just waiting, like, claws to pop out of his hands. He's doing this Wolverine look. So if you have that, go check it out. Go pull your
copies. I forgot about that panel until just
now. You think
now.
A princess and a guy like you, Schnick, no!
I forgot about that. It's like Lin Wein was writing Star Wars.
Yes, I know. It's like the most, wow, Keisha, hands off! The only way I'm touching that woman is if she's your sister. No, I'm pretty sure Obi-Wan would have told me if Princess Leia was my sister.
Luke just going into, like, berserker rage. And
exactly. Sneaky schnicked. So, yes, Luke is imitating Wolverine's berserker rage with his adamantium claws. Oh. So, you know, the thing about it is, it seems like with episodes 1 through 3, especially with episode 1,
Lucas,
as someone who, you know, had spent years living and breathing and eating and occasionally like planting crops of Star Wars so that I could harvest them in the spring to sustain my hunger for more Star Wars. You go into episode 1 and it's like, okay, there is absolutely nothing here that backs up anything Obi-Wan said about Anakin.
Not a lick of it.
And it's like, did you even watch your own movie?
Mm-hmm.
Do you even know what you wrote all those years ago, or are you just, is your head so full of blue elephants now that it's a lost cause?
And Max Rebo?
Max Rebo, yes. And actually, on my desk in my studio, sitting atop my tower, because I'm old people and I still buy towers when the old ones die, is a little gumball machine toy that was like little rubber animals.
Yeah.
And one of them I got was, I kid you not, a blue elephant.
Oh, wow.
And I have that on my desk of time-wasting distractions for that very reason, because I thought, you know, why a blue elephant?
With as many little knickknacks that are on your desk, I'm not surprised there's a blue elephant there. I mean,
yeah, and you're not
so
surprised
much stuff
you've
there.
Never noticed it.
For all we know, Jimmy Hoffa is there somewhere.
Told you not to say that!
we'll cut that out.
Yeah, yeah, it's actually the blue elephant's whittled from Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Good night.
So, moving along to Obi-Wan's penchant for insincerity...
Mm-hmm.
Shall we say? Well, we're going to give him a little bit of a pass. We'll just call it insincerity instead of just bald-faced lying about everything. Obi-Wan simply cannot be trusted. Okay, let's do the list. Obi-Wan says, you know, when he met your father, he was impressed by what a great pilot he was.
And see, that's what I have a problem with. Well, I have a problem with a lot of it, but...
What's not to have a problem with?
Well, because we finally get the prequels, and if you go back and look at it now, after you've had time to, like, really absorb the whole thing, where do we see evidence of Anakin being this amazing pilot?
Exactly! Okay, I'll give you, okay, for an 8, 9, 10-year-old boy, whatever the hell age he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
The fact that he builds and races his own pod racers... given especially the mortality rate evident in the Boonten Eve Challenge, also known as the suicide run, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you get a career in that? It's like...
How do you get a sponsor for that?
It's like 1930s motorcycle racing. You know, these guys didn't last a day. You know, it's like... I didn't realize this was like gladiators or something. You know, not many of these people... live to have grandkids, either grandkids or anything.
I know. It's like the turnover rate for those guys was higher than public school teachers. Wait, what?
Oh, wow.
With apologies to public school teachers.
Everywhere. I didn't realize public school teaching was so dangerous. I don't remember any of them blowing up when I was a kid. We pretty much had the same ones each year.
But even so, even
I guess the
so,
ones you left blew up in the Boonteef Challenge.
Exactly.
I knew I should have gone. I was like, I got enough school all week. I'm going to go to the damn Boonteef Challenge. But
even,
yeah.
Even okay. So, Obi-Wan never saw Anakin in
the parade. Exactly. Qui-Gon saw his prowess on the inexplicable pod race course.
But only on that one turn. Because it wasn't like they could see it.
Well, I mean, they had their little iPod there.
Tablets, but even
she
so.
Could watch it on, but, yeah, and also, why, what the hell kind of thing is that anyway? I mean, some the stands were packed, and like, do they just have to imagine what's going on around? I wonder if there's Tusken Raiders. And then the two-head guy says, oh, there's Tusken Raiders. There's Tusken Raiders! Hooray! Can't wait until, like, 5 minutes from now we see whoever hasn't died on the course fly by.
It's like listening to an old radio play. Everyone's just
they're all just sort of sitting
around the living room.
Oh, the shadow knows! Shaboba knows! But, yeah, Qui-Gon's the only one who sees him actually racing.
Uh-huh.
And he's not really into the race.
Uh-uh.
I think Jar Jar's into it. You never see anything like this. It's like, you know, this is incredible. This is deadly. This would make no sense. And this coming from, you know, a character that makes no sense. So, apologies to Gungans. For my poor Gungan impression. But, yeah, the thing about it is, there's no place that, even when we do get into star piloting, and Anakin decides to, it's like if you're doing a Lethal Weapon movie, and they had to, you know, keep track of a kid, in much the same way the dog or whatever has to watch the baby in cartoons, and it goes out on the girders and stuff.
Oh yeah,
you know, it would be like if Mel Gibson and Danny Glover, you know, oh, well, let's leave the kid in the forklift. We'll get back to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Here, you go hide in the heavy equipment.
That must have been Lethal Weapon 2.5.
That was the one they were working on it, and then Mel Gibson died.
Oh.
I mean, he's still alive, but he died.
His career?
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, to have him go hide in the thing, and then the thing about it is the extent of his star piloting about the time Obi-Wan first encounters him is accidentally pushing enough buttons to get the thing going.
Yeah.
In much the same way that, you know, honestly, my older brother and I can't tell you how we did it, but we figured out a way to get the radio to play in our parents' van when we got tired of waiting for them at school when they got talking to somebody. I don't know how we hotwired that part of the thing, And it was this weird, irreproducible effect that only seemed to work when nobody was around. It's what I call the Mr. Snuffleupagus effect.
Oh, of course.
And, but in that same way, you know, he accidentally hotwires this thing, which, you know, you should have like a key or something.
Yeah.
You generally can't just hop on board and push a button and go, or shouldn't. So that's on Naboo.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the Naboo Defense Council. They really need to rethink that. But, okay, you've got he gets the thing going, but R2 gets sucked up inside.
Mm-hmm.
And R2 is purpose-built for this sort of thing. Apparently he's purpose-built for everything, from piloting starships to putting out fires to faxing.
Well, he's the Swiss Army knife of droids.
That is so true. The Astromechs are. There are things in there you don't want to know about.
Yeah, let's just leave it there.
Yeah, there are things for, you know, when... I mean, I'm not going to go there.
I think we can use our imagination.
It's imagination time, kids. Except
let's just say they come in handy with Leia on those lonely nights.
Exactly. When Han's away, then R2 will play.
Aw, poor R2. Don't dirty R2 that way.
I didn't do it. It was her. That's what she said. But, okay, so... You know, half of it is dumb luck and accidentally hitting some buttons.
Yeah.
But a lot of his piloting is accidental, like, oh, I wonder what this does. Oh, look, I accidentally blew up a bunch of droid fighters.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start hitting that button randomly. So it'd be like, you know, when you're not very good at a video game, but you figure out that if you just keep hitting every button and making every move, eventually you'll get through enough lives that you can move on to the next stage.
Yeah.
And then R2's, you know, helping out. So it was, you know, the ultimate student driver there, except he wasn't being taught.
I always thought R2 did it all, and he was just making Anakin believe.
That's,
you know, he was
probably true, yeah. He's probably, you know, playing along there.
Yeah.
So there was absolutely nothing to suggest that as a young boy he was a great star pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, later on, he apparently helps himself to somebody's vehicle that he can trash. Because two wrongs make a right if you're a Jedi.
Are we talking about Attack of the Clones now?
Yes, we're kind of segueing into...
See, even then, I don't see him being a cunning pilot. If anything, he's just being reckless.
Exactly. It's worse than, like, bullets.
Yes! Thank you.
You're half expecting 16 hubcaps to go flying off the thing. That was the only thing missing in this... In the sequence, yeah, it was just completely reckless. It's like Popeye Doyle in The French Connection.
Exactly,
or something.
Exactly.
You know, you just have to go all in and, mm-hmm. you know, damn the torpedoes and the traffic and the Battleship Potemkin baby carriages and anything else that might get in your way. You just have to go all in and go for it. So, is that great star piloting? No, it's just dumb luck.
Uh-huh.
A lot more, oddly enough, of Han Solo's simple tricks and nonsense than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And then you do eventually get him behind the wheel of a couple of different starfighters. And he does, you know, reasonably well, but there's no good benchmark. If you compare his antics to Obi-Wan's, Obi-Wan did fairly well outrunning and outgunning Jango Fett.
Mm-hmm.
And Jango Fett had those... cool guitar riff bombs.
Yeah.
Party on, Garth.
I know. I was always half expecting Marty McFly to go flying across.
Right. Your kids are going to love these bombs. You just want to, like, party on, Darth.
Oh, man.
Party on. So... You know, there really is no comparator. You have nothing that suggests. And in fact, when he first meets Anakin, if anything, it's not a sense of him being impressed by Anakin in any way. It's a sense of disdain.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, great, Jar Jar Jr. has joined the fight.
<No.
laughs> It was... You know, couldn't have been more thrilled if Anakin died than the Knights of the Round Table were thrilled that they had to eat Robin's minstrels. in the frozen land of Nador.
Oh.
I pretty much wish that that would have happened to Anakin.
Uh-huh.
Master, isn't there a Rancor around we could toss him to? Or he's the chosen one. How many times? I don't, that doesn't even sound remotely like...
You said it sounds more like a Monty Python characters going...
Who's the chosen one?
I know, he's like...
I will do as I must.
You're right, it's like, he even says it. He's like, we picked up yet another...
Yeah, like stray kitten or whatever it's called.
He's like, now we got this kid who sits in the corner of the starship. He keeps giving these creepy looks to Padme every time she walks by.
Yeah.
Doesn't he know that she's too old for him?
You're an angel, and I hope you're a cougar, too.
What?!
I'm gonna slap you, boy. Yeah,
well, you know
I've heard the young star pilots talk about space cougars.
Yeah, I just thought of something. Anakin had more spunk and more of a dark side to him when he was Annie in Episode 1 than he did once he became Annie Episode 2 and 3. If anything, he became whinier as he got older.
Yeah, he got kind of whiny and kind of awkward, and
He should have kept with that, you know, kind of Playa attitude that he had in Episode 1. He made it turn out okay.
He was like, uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not Bug Squat, you are.
Wow.
It's no wonder Obi-Wan had to lie through his teeth. I didn't want to tell this kid his dad was a jerk. he started out as a complete ass, and then he grew into the most... your uncle thinks you're bad.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, you don't know what your dad was like. Man, many were the times I wanted to force slap his ass.
Yeah. Don't we all?
I know. He's like, ow! Who did that? I don't know. That's the great thing about force slapping. You can just, must have been, who knows, like the wind or something. We're in a starship. So I guess, you know, there is a bit of a... The more I analyze it, I'm finding more reasons for Obi-Wan to be a damn liar about about things like that. But the thing is, there's a pattern of lying that's established right off the bat.
Yeah.
I mean, for one thing... I think that really what Obi-Wan had in mind, something that just occurred to me, when they get to Mos Eisley, I think he really wanted Luke to stay in the speeder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, why don't you stay out here? I'll go in and take care of business. I really don't want some dumb farm kid hanging over my shoulder.
He's like, here, I'll roll down the window so you don't overheat like you're a Labrador Retriever.
Except the whole thing's an open... Yeah. Compartment. For some reason, that windshield rolls down. But it's there. The tech was there, so they used it.
Exactly.
You know, if you're going to have that kind of technology, you better employ it, whether you need it or not.
Yeah.
So
it's like the people who have the little camera on the bumper.
Exactly.
They use it like one time a year, but it's there.
Oh yeah. I think I would like to do a series of short films entirely from bumper cams.
Oh, there you go.
Just kind of like set up your shot and then just back into it. Rather, kind of like dolly in, only backward.
Uh-huh.
Man, if you could outfit those with sound. Anyway.
Those cameras are kind of low, so unless you're getting Warwick Davis to star in the film.
Wow! Apologies again to Lurch.
Boy, we're on fire tonight, aren't we?
And you were afraid you were too sweepy.
I know. I've had a long week, and I thought I was going to just drop the ball on this one.
I'll wake you up.
Yeah.
But, you know, the pattern of lying, you see it first when he's, you know, lying through his teeth about Vader.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the problem is, and it really rests with Lucas because it's a writing thing. When Lucas wrote the words about, you know, a young Jedi named Darth Vader, who was a pupil of mine until he turned evil, etc. He didn't have in mind that an older Darth Vader would turn out to be Luke's father.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I believe I read somewhere that the concept came from the fans.
What?
Presumably, yeah. Somebody was saying, hey, wouldn't it be cool if, or something like that. And Luke was like, oh, yeah, That's much better than feeding gargoyles in the park.
Like, wait, I've never heard that.
Disco,
so,
yeah.
So he took fan fiction and made it canon?
I don't know if it was fiction or what. I just read this little, you know, little blurb apparently where Lucas had had said something, and I haven't got into the making of The Empire Strikes Back yet.
Wow. Okay.
Highly recommended reading for myself as well, apparently.
You're going to recommend something.
I would recommend that you read something that I have not read.
Do so as I can, say, not as
so
I do.
So you can tell me all about it when you see me at Wizard World in Austin.
Oh, man.
It just goes full circle tonight. But, you know, it comes down to that, even, you know, whether or not that was the case, it was never the case.
Uh-huh.
When Star Wars was being written, when what became A New Hope was being penned, that Vader was intended to be Luke's father. And one of the things you run into a lot in the Star Wars saga is there is a tremendous disconnect between what Lucas knew from day one and what came at day 2000.
Yeah.
Which may be more days than it took to get to the Empire. Probably is a lot more days. But at any rate, you get the idea. So, you know, the whole Vader thing painted him into a corner that then demanded resolution in the way that painting himself into a corner with midichlorians apparently didn't.
As
I call it, the amazing appearing, disappearing midichlorians.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wrote a justification for that as well. Because the midichlorians bothered me to the point that I had to cleanse my system by justifying them. So, when you've written yourself into this corner, then comes the certain point of view aspect. And the problem is that I'll grant you the certain point of view, but that does not give you carte blanche to create some sort of revisionist history like you're the Soviet Union or something. And, like, you know, disappear dead cosmonauts out of photos of the whole cosmonaut crew over the course of 10 years. So you can pretend like, oh, we've never lost a man in space that we're willing to show you in a picture. And, it, you know, the whole thing really becomes untenable because the Darth Vader was never a pupil of his. Because by the time Anakin becomes Darth Vader, he's already pretty much left the fold.
Mm-hmm.
And Darth Vader didn't turn to evil. Anakin turned evil and got named Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
It tells a good story. I don't know if Ben was just getting old and dottery and...
Oh, my God.
You know, I remember when something...
He was suffering from Stan Lee syndrome, where
he
completely rewrites Marvel history to to his liking.
I'm pretty sure he was a pupil of mine. I had so many back then.
Oh my gosh, it's Gilbert Godfrey as Stan Lee.
I had a lot of students back then who can keep track. But... Wow. He was a pupil of mine until he turned to evil. Well, Gilbert Godfrey is a great plug-in for just about any movie line. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Some folks call it a sling blade. I call it a Kaiser blade. I do, again, digress a bit. Or perhaps more than a bit. But, you know, the lies just keep heaping on top of each other because it goes beyond that. I think that the whole wretched hive of scum and villainy thing, it was a tough town.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet you could find it a much more wretched hive if you put your mind to it. But I think he really just wanted Luke to stay in the car because he was embarrassed. And rightfully so.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Luke was a tremendously embarrassing child. And you don't want to go into a really, you know, bar where you've got a bit of a rep anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, who's your grandson?
Hey, well, you also don't want rumors starting up. Ben Schultz,
oh, that's
this young
true,
kid,
yeah.
This young boy.
Oh,
taking him in, underage drinker to this
bar.
Ben's
turned out to be a puma. I'm guessing that's what a male cougar would.
I don't
would
know.
Be as a puma, since they're anyway. So there you have it, folks. It's a puma. It's not the puma.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, then the lies continue because you have, again, when you put the original trilogy, when you juxtapose that against the prequels.
Yeah.
Even in death, Ben can't stop lying.
Oh, no.
I want you to go to Dagobah and study with the Jedi Master who instructed me. You know, he didn't. Qui-Gon did, you jerk.
Yeah, I...
Like, oh, you know, Qui-Gon...
I forgot about that one.
Hold
I
on.
I forgot about that lie. Yeah,
yeah.
That's always bugged me, too.
Qui-Gon went off and got himself killed, so I don't even care about him no more. You
I mean,
left me.
This is the thing about it. No one was instructing Lucas what he could and couldn't write into the prequels. Why couldn't he just follow what he had already established?
Well, it's the problem with any kind of retro history or trying to fill in blanks. You get what... This is the old bone claws syndrome.
Oh, gosh, please no.
No, it's too late.
I'm
going to invoke the bone claws syndrome. And the bone claws syndrome is completely ignoring everything that came before so you can tell the story you want to tell. And apparently the story Lucas wanted to tell was the progression of a conniving little shit turning into a whiny...
just... We invoked Arthur now. I caught that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, you can imagine the Palpatine. Would you like me to... No. I'll let fans of Arthur fill in the blanks.
John Gielgud as the Emperor. Oh, and Liza Minnelli would be Princess Leia. No, thank you.
Oh, ow, ow.
Oh, no, I guess she would be Padme.
Yeah, that's even worse. Yeah. A strange
I guess you're more as Jar Jar. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. They had the same eyelashes. you're actually trying to visualize you, did they?
Oh, anyways.
But, I mean, you can cite example after example after example. And, again, I hate to blame Obi-Wan, because he's such a good character who got a short end of the stick by Lucas not paying attention to his own characters.
Mm-hmm.
And you get this cycle of deceit that's an unfortunate byproduct of that. Because, there's nothing to illustrate that Yoda... I mean, maybe instructed him back when he was a Spaceballs helmet wearing Padawan. Like the, you know, he's taking those first year students through with their toy lightsabers in there.
Yeah. I guess you could say that. I guess you could say Yoda trained Obi-Wan early on.
Yeah, instructed me, like, you know. It's like, I want you to go visit my first grade teacher who instructed me. Like, you know, you're a PhD. Are you going like straight? You going straight back to the beginning?
Go back to the person who instructed me to break the graham crackers right on the lawn.
Wow! Wow. No wonder Yoda didn't like that space wiener. No graham crackers do you have. Much I would show you.
Oh my gosh. You know, if we ever opened a Star Wars themed restaurant, you know it's going to be on the menu.
Oh, the space wiener.
Yeah.
It's basically basically what it was sort of like a combination of a Chico stick, and if you got one of those breakfast bites at 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
At like 3 in the afternoon, but they forgot to take it off the roller grill.
Gross.
No wonder Yoda spat it out. Arrive at 7-Eleven earlier, you must.
I'm dying here. Oh my gosh.
That's always going to go in tomorrow morning into the 7-Eleven and just fall over laughing. Can I come back and pick that up in about 7 hours?
Oh my
gosh. I want to try something.
If anybody who's listening to this, if the next time Cole and I are out at a convention or doing like a live Rancor at a comic shop, anybody, and if I have my art prints with me, if y'all bring us an Intergalactic Wiener Chicka Stick 7-Eleven special, you can have the pick of any of my 8x10
wow,
prints free.
8x10 print. And I will personally draw you if I have the my crayons and such with me. I will draw you a Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, that's
my
a
thing.
Good.
I draw a lot of Jabba the Hutts. So.
That's a good trade off for you because those things are what, like 2 for $3 or something like that.
Yeah, they're free with fill up, I think.
We're not promising we're going to eat them, but we will.
Oh
definitely.
Yeah, we will definitely take them from you and proudly
and play,
be photographed.
We'll play lightsabers with
that's
them or
right.
something.
So yeah, we want to see a space wiener.
Oh,
but
gross.
Only in the context. We don't want to see yours.
Most of these events are family shows, after all.
Yeah, so only bring us a Chicka Stick or a desiccated Big Bite. breakfast bite, rather. So, but, you know, if like I said, even in death, Obi-Wan continues to lie. And if you want to see his biggest, and this is where we have to close, because, again, this falls heavily in George Lucas's lap. He has to take full responsibility.
Yeah.
He is the reason we suffer. Because Lucas leads to suffering.
Well, it is our lot in life.
That is so true. We've been made to suffer by George Lucas's piss poor writing. Such is our fate.
Didn't we just do an episode praising the man for what he did for
we
Star
did
Wars?
That because
and now we're just like totally trashing on this episode later.
The previous episode was a broad blanket
okay.
of Star Wars love for the man and all that he has done for us, for fandom, for the world that is Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
This is more of a targeted, this is like laser surgery. We're excising the mole off the surface of that otherwise.
We're getting the mole off of his goiter. Or
yeah,
something.
That's right. It's bad enough that the goiter is there, but now there's a mole and we must remove it. And that mole is Obi-Wan being a damn liar, because even in death, Lucas makes him a big damn liar. And this is how he did this. Two words, special edition.
Mm-hmm.
Because Obi-Wan magically reappears to Luke one last time.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently he is as well-traveled in death as he was in life. Because
yeah,
he goes
true.
To about as many planets after he croaks
uh-huh.
as he did while he was still breathing.
Uh-huh.
He visits the moon of Hoth. He visits Dagobah fairly regularly. And he goes to the moon of Endor.
Uh-huh.
Chances are he's gone to whatever, like the Twi'lek planet, to check out the hot chicks, you know.
Oh,
that's
sure
what I
did.
Would do if I had that power.
Of course.
I'd be backstage in the locker room. Oh, sorry. But that's just me. But, okay, so, you know, he shows up. He's like, hi, Luke. You're doing good. I'm proud of you, boy. And looky, it's your dead Master Yoda who actually instructed you. So when you yep. can tell people, you can look them in the eye with conviction and say, Yoda trained me.
Yeah.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Ben didn't even show up. He came by and kind of gave me a letter of recommendation there in the hut, but that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was lying to Yoda then, too. So he's like, I remember how I was. And he was like, you actually were one of my best students, but sure. I know what you're trying to do, ass you are. So I think there's pretty good evidence that everything Ben said to Yoda was a lie. Uh-huh. But Yoda couldn't call him down on it because here's the kid and everybody feels sorry for him. He's an orphan and his dad's Darth Vader. Oh, let that slip, did I? Learn that later, you should have.
Yeah, exactly.
Force forget. What are you doing, Master Yoda? I'm trying something new. Force forget. He's hoping he has like that kiss me. He's hoping to do like the Superman Lois Lane.
Or that,
the forget kiss. I honestly, I would sooner kiss a Wookiee, Master Yoda.
Or like in the Arrested Development, where they are, Job was taking the pills that apparently would make him forget the past 24 hours.
Which would be better than, you know, because Yoda likes to use tongue, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, gosh.
It's just compulsory.
That little green tongue, gross.
Man, you thought Jabba was awful, but he wanted to, wants a soul kiss.
God.
So, you get there, and then, so here's me, here's your master. Hey, look, one more surprise for you, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
It's your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then, fast forward a few years, and through the magic of crap, who's this guy that's my own age?
Mm-hmm.
And I you know, that there's a reason that that is one of the most overdubbed images, where I've seen everything from, like, you know, Apollo astronauts to the entire Jedi Council to... you know, Fred Flintstone, or even Big Tex when he burned to the ground, being inserted into the ghostly trio there.
Oh, I haven't seen
I'm surprised no one has added the ghostly trio.
Oh,
from Casper.
The Casper ghostly trio.
Hey, Casper.
Nice, yeah.
Dad, we are.
Yeah, I want to see that one.
Yeah, somebody, okay, that's a challenge. For anybody who actually does Photoshop, which I don't, it's all I can do to take some picture I steal off the internet and add captioning to it, or just post it in general. Don't look for me to, like, capture part of an image and remove it and somehow insert it onto another, unless I get a lot of help from somebody else. So if you're capable of doing that and kind of, you know, making them kind of a ghostly blue, add the ghostly trio in either the cartoon or live-action movie format to the... the Star Wars ghostly trio. Mm-hmm. But yes, he brings, like, young Anakin in, because George Lucas, again, had these multiple brain farts to ruin the Star Wars saga for us.
Oh my gosh.
And I appreciate that Hayden Christensen is all that. And the episode 1 through 3 is what you were trying to really promote. Then why didn't Obi-Wan appear as...
Mm-hmm. Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor.
I know. It doesn't make sense to me. And why didn't Yoda appear as Episode 1 Yoda, that horrible puppet?
Yes, exactly. or as, you know, Bert and Ernie. or Kermit the Frog, or, you know, something like that.
Or a younger Yoda that we never saw, because he's 900 years old.
That's true.
And I mean, he could have always looked like an old geezer.
That could have been, it wasn't actually Yoda, it was Yoda's mom holding the, if you look real close, you can see the little infant polywog Yoda in her hands. So that, they really did retrofit there. Or, you know, or Fozzie Bear, who would technically be the younger version of Yoda.
That is.
Or just, hell, just put Frank Oz in there.
You seen what this stuff does to kids?
Just put in Frank Oz in all three roles.
That's right. Frank Oz in Jedi robes.
It would have made just as much sense to Luke.
Exactly.
Like, who is this person?
Might as well have just put Cy Snoodles in there. What does it matter at this point? You've destroyed it.
Who's this guy and what happened to my dad?
Yeah, what happened to...
How come he's not with you, Ben?
What happened to Humpty Dumpty I just took out of the Vader suit?
I was thinking Mr. Freeze. Or Egghead. From the Adam West show.
Oh my! So there you have it, folks. The searing indictment.
Oh, just real quick before we close.
Oh yes.
Is there evidence of him being a liar in the prequels?
Wow.
I was thinking about that right before we.
Oh yeah, that's a good point, because there was one thing that did occur to me. Is I think that the genesis of his lying. And this may be the genesis of all of his lies. And then it gets to be sort of like Memento. You just expect, you know, Luke to be carrying around a picture, like a Polaroid of Obi-Wan. It says, Obi-Wan Kenobi, do not believe his lies.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you haven't seen Memento, so that joke means absolutely nothing.
No, 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 I get it.
Okay. For those of you who haven't, we'll have greater...
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert. But I think that you do see it, because when Qui-Gon's still living, and he is all up in that about this kid's the chosen one, he's going to bring balance to the Force, and how many times have we heard this before, and I'm not even half your age, you old geezer. Then, once he's pretty much had to chop Anakin into little pieces, and leave him in the lava pit, I think at this point two things happened. Obi-Wan became a damn liar, and Obi-Wan proved himself to be the ultimate jerk.
Yeah.
And the only thing worse he could have done was just piss on
Anakin. I want to see the special edition of that happen.
Yeah, exactly. Normally I would say I wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire, but actually it occurs to me that's worse than not pissing on you if you're on fire.
Oh my gosh, if he did that, if he just pulled that card to
piss on you. Like,
that's the worst way of playing lightsabers I can imagine.
Wow.
Yeah.
And just make a lightsaber noise. Like, cut that out. So... Yeah, you can make your own visual there. But that's a good point, because when he's yelling at him, "You were the chosen one," it's like you didn't believe that for a second until this moment. You didn't buy into this whole chosen one. It was a load of crap until it served you to rub it in his face. Which, thankfully was the only thing he rubbed in his face.
Oh my gosh. Usually that's coming from me.
I know. This is you've had a bad influence on this show.
Role reversal here.
Yeah. I'm filling in for you because you had a long week. So I think with that we can certainly...
Yeah. We'll leave you with that image.
Yeah. We'll let you carry that one to your grave. We will now bid adieu to the life and lies of one Ben Obi-Wan Kenobi, who also... I do have to point out, though, that apparently Kenobi and Skywalker were apparently the two big... most common names in the entire galaxy.
Apparently so.
Because Obi-Wan Kenobi took Anakin Skywalker's child, Luke, and they both went and lived on the same remote planet.
Uh-huh.
And you'd half expect somebody somewhere would have been, at least keeping an ear to the ground after daily briefings from the Emperor.
Uh-huh.
For any Kenobis and Skywalkers, it would have just been rounded up wholesale, like Terminator grabbing a phone book. Are you Sarah Connor? It doesn't matter which Sarah Connor you kill. It doesn't matter which Kenobis and Skywalkers you kill. Just wipe them all out. But instead, it must have been so common a name, it wasn't cost effective to round up, your Excellency, if we rounded up every Skywalker and Kenobi in the entire galaxy, I mean, there's some of those hammerhead things, those guys with their tentacles and the bleh coming out of their face, they even have that name. It's the most common name.
I mean, you make a good point, because that would be kind of like somebody walking into, a construction area and saying, is there a Juan Gonzalez here? I mean, there's
I was going to go with maybe, we're looking for
Bob. 31 Gonzalez is here. What are you talking about?
We're looking for Bob Smith or something. And, the chances are... It's not like, Walter Matthau's actual last name was Matachansky-Ansky. I think you're pretty much... If you had a very unusual last name, chances are you'd be easy to find.
Uh-huh.
But if your last name is, Smith... it's going to be a long haul. You may as well just leave it to fate that you're eventually going to cross paths.
Yeah.
And if you want to cross paths with us,
A good segue there.
Yes, indeed. As previously mentioned, you can find me at Wizard World Austin.
Yep.
The Austin Comic Con. I will be speaking on Saturday and probably wandering the floor giddily looking for collectibles. And you can find Eddie wandering around at the G.I. Joe.
Yeah, the G.I. Joe convention. I won't be set up, but I'll definitely be hanging out there. I'm going to be picking up hopefully some cool collectibles out to my G.I. Joe wall.
That is the DFW G.I. Joe and Action Figure Show 2014 on the 4th and 5th of October. And the neat thing is these guys, this is, I think, their third or fourth year. This will be their fourth year, I believe.
I believe it's their fourth,
This is their fourth year. They have really, I mean, every year it's like, are you going to have one next year? Well, maybe. And then next thing you know, here we are, and which is great. I'm thrilled when someone who's uncertain if this is their last year turns out that it's not. Because
it's a two-day show.
Yeah, they're two-day shows now. They used to be the one-day
things. It's getting even bigger.
And so if you don't even have to be... It's not all G.I. Joes, but there's a lot of cool toys and stuff.
Oh, no, not at all. Yeah.
And you can find some great stuff, see a lot of people in great costumes, a lot of local folks.
Well, and I'm really excited because I get to actually meet a friend of mine in person for the first time, Buzz Dixon, who is a writer on the old cartoon shows. I've actually been... friends with Buzz online through the Christian Comic Art Society, so we've interacted over the internet and all, but this is going to be the first time we've actually get to meet.
Oh, nice. Well, that's great.
That's going to be exciting for me to actually get to shake his hand in person and all.
And then I believe the following week in October, is it? Yes, you will be, is it 1 week later or 2 weeks later? You'll be at Fan Days.
I believe it's 2 weeks after that. Fan Days, October 17th through the 19th. I'll be in Artist Alley.
At Fan Days in Irving.
Uh-huh.
The Irving Convention Center, which I would love to be there. I will actually, the 18th.
Yeah, that same weekend.
Yes, on the 18th I will be at Generation X Comics, manning the Jedi Cole Universe table. If you'd like to come out and meet me in person, the Generation X Comics in Hearst, Texas is having their 20th anniversary, and we were invited to have a table there, so I will be out there.
Now, you cannot... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'll be out there just talking at the JCU and all of our fine, fine shows.
Now, you cannot bring him the Chico Stick at that event,
because
I won't be there.
Yeah, we have to be there.
But you can, if you want to look way ahead... plan on bringing those intergalactic wiener Chico Stick thingies to me and Cole on, let's see, November 15th at the Texas Comic Book Show.
At the Doubletree Hotel in Dallas, Texas.
So, you'll definitely want to make a plans. You know, it's in November, so you got plenty of time to, you know, get that on your calendar. You don't want to miss that event. It's a smaller show, but it's a ton of fun.
Oh, it really is. Chris puts on a great show, and there's all
kinds of great dealers
and all kinds of fun stuff. And he usually brings in some really cool comic guests that nobody else ever brings in.
Oh, yeah. This theme for this show is going to be Mad About Comics, and he's bringing in a lot of the Mad Magazine guys.
And that's where the Convention Awareness Project is now intruding into the show. So if you want to check out all of the conventions in Texas throughout the rest of the year, and coming in about mid to late October, I'll begin the 2015 listings, check out Convention Awareness Project Texas at conventionawarenesstx.blogspot.com. Click on the name of any given convention, and it will take you to their website. And you can, of course, find us at Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. Eddie and I, and now even Andrew and I from Hey Kids Comics, can be found on live shows where?
DeepBellumOnAir.com.
That's right. Check out the show pages for the Rancor Pit Live. And you can scroll way on down into Saturday to get to Hey Kids Comics Live. The Rancor Pit Live is every other Sunday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And Hey Kids Comics Live is the second Saturday of every month from 11:30 to 12:30.
Yeah, and just get a quick link. It's deepelmonair.com/rantcorepit. And Hey Kids Comics is deepelmonair.com/heykidscomics.
Excellent. And with that, we will say a fond good evening from a galaxy far, far away, and be back in 2 weeks with more Simple Tricks and Nonsense, or in 1 week with Eddie taking over the live show in my absence while I'm away at Wizard World.
Definitely.